Touchdown, Los Angeles.
You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every...
Rams Nation. What's happening? What's good? It's your boy, Bear Motter of Rams Podcast, but this is Locked On Rams. It's the Friday edition of Locked On Rams. A whole week, we made it here to Friday. We got an awesome show for you guys today. We're going to continue our series with the NCAA college host here on the network. Today, I'm really excited. We got Jordan Long from Locked On Ducks. Jordan, welcome to the show. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing very well, man. I got to say, we're fortunate, blessed to be able to work from home. It's an interesting week because I have my 10-year-old son Jacob this week, and there's like a school plan. So right now he has like academic time from this time to this time. So, you know, doing the best we can in these tough times.
Yeah, that's the one nice thing about the NFL right now is it's still kind of keeping us entertained here. Lots to talk about, lots to get to, especially when you're looking at the Oregon Ducks and some prospects that are coming in. And that's what we'll do today. We'll take a look at some of the guys maybe available second, third, fourth, maybe even later. Obviously, we know you've got a first-round prospect coming out. We'll talk about him a little bit later in the show as well. But make sure, guys, to go back. We had an awesome week of guests here on the show. We're going to have that coming up next week as well as we continue to do a lot of things that we're doing. But we had a mock draft Monday with our buddy Sosa. Make sure to check that out. That was a bunch of fun, which kind of really started this whole conversation here with Jordan. So I was excited about that. And then Wednesday, we had Cody Rourke on from Locked On Broncos. We talked about Brandon Staley coming over here and controlling this defense. Thursday, we had our man Jake Ellenbogen on talking about Michael Brockers coming back, as well as what are we going to do at running back. So if you missed any of those shows, make sure to go back and check them out. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Himalaya. Just hit the search button, Locked On Rams. Hit subscribe while you're there. Share with a friend. This is time right now for all of us to grow, so we appreciate you guys listening. As well as hit us up on social media. You can find us at Locked On Rams on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Facebook group, as well as LA_RamblingBear is my personal. As for Jordan, you can find him at The Dust Off Guy on Twitter, as well as at Locked On Ducks. Always putting up great content. And as we get ready for this time, a great source for those Oregon prospects. So we got all that going. And then as well as you want to reach out to us, we've got a Google phone number. Leave the message to about 30 seconds. Question, comment, concern. I'll play it on the show here. 657-345-4988. Wow, that's a lot of good stuff. We got it all out of the way. We're ready to get into this. So with that, let's just jump into Friday's edition. In our latest Los Angeles Rams mock draft we did on Monday, we ended up selecting Shane Lemieux in the fourth round, offensive lineman with pick number 126. I'm Bear Motter of Locked On Rams. I'm joined by Jordan Long of Locked On Ducks, and this is your lead story. Jordan, so when you're looking at the Oregon Ducks, there are a few guys that jump out to you that would be a good fit for the Rams, but let's start at O-line. Shane Lemieux, talk to me about what you saw with him during his time at Oregon. How do you think he's going to transfer over to the next level?
Well, I think Shane Lemieux, and he's appropriately even called the Iron Man because of his durability, basically playing every single, starting in every single game possible, and definitely being called a team guy and the kind of person who needs to show up for every game because he doesn't want to let his teammates down. In fact, this Shane Lemieux is just a phenomenal player. He's got a lot of power, but the problem is he's pretty top heavy and doesn't seem to have the ankle strength to really support it. Now, one thing that you might have to hear me say again throughout as we talk about this is that these players have had to play for three different coaches because in the post-Chip Kelly era, we had a whole lot of changeover as we tried to find our way again.
Right.
And I'm really pleased to say that Shane Lemieux is part of this group that's played for the last three or four years and taken the Ducks from 4-8 to Rose Bowl champions. And so despite that, he's been able to be a versatile player, a strong player, and honestly has a lot to contribute.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing about him, as you talked about him being a little top heavy. And I watched him at the combine a little bit, and that was the big worry about it. And there is the nice thing that you said there is that he's been around for some of these transitions, and because the Rams did kind of lean heavy at a time with Todd Gurley, but that's the big question. What are they going to do now without Todd Gurley with some outside zone concepts? And that's the one thing that kind of makes me nervous about Shane Lemieux is kind of that lateral quickness and being able to get out there in open space and still be effective. But to know that he kind of came from a system where it did transfer over, and it's crazy. You think back to those Chip Kelly days forever. They were up there on the top. And then once he left, they had to kind of rebuild this thing all the way back to where they got to, you know, obviously the Rose Bowl last year. And seeing that development and a guy that you talked about as an Iron Man and a team guy would be a good fit here. But they would have to figure that out, or the Rams have to figure that out, what they want to do on the ground as far as the direction they want to go with the type of guys that they're bringing in. But I saw him there in the third round, seemed like some good value. He's a massive dude. As you talked about, the durability, being able to play through, you know, injury or lack of injury to stay on the field is always an important thing, especially when you're looking at the Rams O-line that really struggled at that last season. But he's not the only guy on the O-line out there. Talk to me a little bit about some of the other guys that are coming out in this year's draft on the O-line that could be maybe later in the draft still around, or somebody that could kind of come in here and help the Rams on that O-line.
You know, that's such a good point. You see, and if I recall, Les Snead is a guy who loves these third and fourth rounders, right? Like Cooper Kupp and kind of eyeballing, like, right? Yeah, that day two, early day three stuff. So I think there's going to be a lot of gold to be mined at this point with the Oregon offensive line. Now, last season, the Oregon offensive line was the most experienced offensive line in the country. Most of them are full four-year players. And when it comes to experience, when it comes to especially versatility, I think Calvin Throckmorton is someone who's not being acknowledged or talked about enough. He did end up going to the Shrine Game and as well as the Senior Bowl, but I think his production was limited by the fact that midweek they asked him to switch over and play a different position, because he's actually started games at every spot on the front line, including center, guard, tackle, whole nine yards. Calvin Throckmorton is really someone to be looking at in these later rounds.
Well, I love that prospect name. I mean, not only just because of his name, Throckmorton. I mean, come on, that is a jersey you want to have on the roster right there. I love it. But you talk about him playing across the line. I kind of looked this up as you were talking. He made 52 consecutive starts to end his career at Oregon. Right tackle, 41 starts. Left tackle, 5. Right guard, 3, and center, 3. And if there's something that Aaron Cromer, our O-line coach, loves, is a guy that can play all 5 positions. If you play 4 positions, he's already kind of perking his ears. But if you even fill in there at center and can do it all, it just kind of shows to the mental that he has coming in that he can take on any responsibility. He's not going to be like, I'm only a left tackle and, you know, put up a fit. That he's going to go in there, learn the plays, and learn every position. And it kind of just builds the player. And that's the type of guy that Aaron Cromer just loves. You have another guy, I think, that's out there at center. What's Jake Hansen? Is that the center that's coming out?
Yeah, Jake Hansen is an interesting story. In fact, he wasn't available he hasn't been analyzed because he was injured, and you know there were these concerns about his strength. But he comes out at the combine and rips off like what 24 reps or something, which is doggone high for his grouping, but. Jake Hansen is someone I'm extremely excited about. In fact, now I know I may be reaching here, but I like to think of Jason Kelce as the prototypical, like, new style NFL center, right? They're athletic. They're smaller. They're able to adapt to different situations because the game is so dynamic now. And I really think that Jake Hansen has that kind of capability. Now, due to coronavirus, we're seeing a limitation on his ability to show what he can do. I think Oregon's pro day was March 12th, right? And he wasn't even ready to perform on pro day. All he did at the combine was rip off bench presses. So really, I think there's a lot to be had from him. And again, I'm not going to try and be a homer here and say that all the ducks are these like the best available. But what I really like about the Rams is in these mid rounds, they could find someone like a Calvin Throckmorton who could be, you know, a Halapulita Vadivaitai of the Rams, where he can be the best backup available for 5 different positions. Or you can get a Jake Hansen, who is a competent center, smart guy. In fact, he's considers himself like an intelligent surgeon. That's a self-described thing. He has a degree in human physiology, and his interviews show that he's adaptable team player, loves to lead, and has that sort of smarts and intelligence and the ability to communicate with the rest of the line. I mean, if you're looking to mine the diamonds in the rough, I think this Oregon offensive line is a place to do it.
Well, you mentioned it, Les Snead. That's what he really, I mean, his whole game plan is you're looking at him trading over ones and picking up veterans to plug in and getting back picks, especially when we start to look at some of these guys leaving free agency and getting those comp picks. He lives in that third and fourth round. He lives in trying to find guys like that. So it'll be interesting to see what the Rams end up doing on the O-line. If anyone comes out of Oregon, it sounds like there are some interesting prospects, but that's not all that Oregon has to offer. Up next, we're going to look at a few other positions, including linebacker, which is a big need for the Rams. We'll jump back and forth here from offense to defense, and another big need for the Rams is linebacker, and Oregon has a pretty special guy coming out that I've seen on the board at 52, and even in some mocks, I've seen him drop to the third round where we have a selection, where we have two selections in the third round, but that name is Troy Dye. Talk to me a little bit about what makes him special and maybe some of the knocks that are on him coming into this next level.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Troy Dye is perhaps the best linebacker that this program has ever seen. Really, I like to think of, now we all say that the linebacker is the quarterback of the defense, but really with Troy Dye and Justin Herbert winning the team MVPs of the year, and by the way, both of those gentlemen are the only Ducks, football Ducks, to have won that award three different times over their careers, and the other one being Marcus Mariota. And that's because Troy Dye is a leader. He's competent. He's smart. He can get it done. He's been a prolific tackler, and I've read these criticisms that he can't finish the job and make the tackle in those tough situations. But in 4 years with the Ducks, he has almost 400 tackles and almost 42 of those for a loss. He's all over the place. In fact, he's been able to do this over a period of 250 coverage snaps from 2016 to 2019. He's got a PFF grade. His lowest PFF grade on 250 coverage snaps is 71. This guy is prolific. He's good at what he does. And you know what? He's tough. And I read this stuff about, oh, he's not tough enough. He's not strong enough. But let's look at the fact that he played with a club on his hand for the last few weeks. His ability to come back, you know, he tore his meniscus on November 16th and continued to play for the rest of the season. That is phenomenal. Initially, the MRI didn't reveal anything. So it wasn't like he was, you know, as the team was hiding anything. He just kept playing on it. He's like, oh, it hurts. But eventually he got arthroscopic surgery. And this was last month, in February, that is. And he did participate in the pro day, but as you know, as we talked about, that was pretty limited. But here's a guy who played with a club on one hand, broken thumb, and a torn meniscus down the stretch of last season, going into the Rose Bowl, going into the Pac-12 championship against Utah. This guy's tough as nails. And with his smarts and his toughness, as they say, you can't teach that.
Yeah, and I love watching him. We actually had a guest here from Downtown Rams, another publication that kind of puts up a bunch of stuff on draft prospects. And they just did kind of a cover on Troy Dye and kind of broke down some of his plays. And they talked about one of the best things, and you mentioned it, is him in coverage. He's a great linebacker in coverage. We just lost Corey Littleton, who was kind of our coverage linebacker, a guy that we really looked to. Troy Dye seems like a good replacement for him. One of the things they did say is that, you know, at times when there is a run or a pass in that play action, he can get a little bit caught in the middle. And there, he's a little undersized right now, and is expected, right? Coming from college with the age and then coming into this next level, all the guys end up bulking up a little bit. So I'm not too worried about that. You mentioned his tackling's awesome. I think I saw a stat somewhere that said he's one of the only Oregon Ducks to lead three or four straight seasons the team in tackles, as well as the only Oregon Duck going back almost 50 years to have six consecutive games with double-digit tackles. So he is a tackle machine. And again, Corey Littleton was that guy for the Rams, led the team in tackles. So we're going to need somebody out there that can be a surefire tackle. The one thing that I did see was maybe in against the run, he struggled a little bit. But again, these guys are all going to have some nitpick things that you're going to go up to. But he sounds like a guy that's got toughness, that's extremely smart, that's got the energy, that's kind of that motor guy that you love, as well as getting into coverage and can make those plays with his hands, because you did see some of these highlights that people have been putting together that he's out there, you know, making interceptions and covering tight ends, all the things that you need from, you know, a linebacker here at the next level. So interesting prospect. And the one thing that's interesting about him is when he's available, and the Rams again at 52, two picks in the third, depending on what they do, if they move back off that 52, slide back a little bit, maybe pick up another pick, there's an opportunity to get a guy like Troy Dye and maybe another linebacker to kind of throw into that room and add some competition. Because I don't think there's as much as there may be holes in this roster. I don't know if it's a starting spot. There's Micah Kizer still there. That's going to, you know, give him a lot of work to get in there. But a guy like this, I think, could come in right away and play. Other than Dyer, is there anyone else coming out on the defense side of the ball, maybe in the secondary or elsewhere, that could contribute at the next level in the NFL?
Unfortunately, I have to say no, my man. This was an unprecedented number of draft picks invited to the combine and headed into the combine, but there aren't any other defensive players. We have six offensive players and Troy Dye. And I just want to add one thing about Troy Dye. Yes, his criticism, and I kind of agree with this, is that his best game is certainly not against the run game, because when it comes to getting up onto the line, he does lack the strength to deal with a power run scheme. But when you talk about Jimmy G and Russ Wilson and Kyler Murray, you're talking about prolific passers. And I think Troy Dye is the kind of person who's going to be able to help you with that on certain downs.
I love that evaluation too. You're basically saying one of his weaknesses comes with an area that he could build upon, right? If he's a little undersized at this position, that's the reason why he struggled in the run game. Well, get this man in an NFL workout room next to Aaron Donald, and I think you're going to find some motivation to get a little bit bigger. So yes, again, those fits always, you got to look at not only where he is today, but the development process of getting him to the next level. And that was the same knock on Corey Littleton coming out, was, hey, moves great, but he's a little undersized, not so great of a tackler. And here he was 4 years later under the Rams, you know, guidance, and he became our best linebacker and a guy that walked out of free agency and made a big payday. So I love it. You got to look at kind of down the road too, and look at some of the good things. We talked about all of them here with the toughness. You know, finishing the season injured and playing through that is huge at the next level, because it's always those things. Are you injured or are you hurt? You know, that's one of the toughest questions when I used to play football, and you're being pain and you're, are you injured or are you hurt? And you're like, dang it, I'm just hurt. I'll get back in. All right, let's go. So you want those guys on the team, especially that next level when you got to suit up every week. So we'll jump back over to the offense side of the ball. Sounds like we got a few other guys on that side to talk about. We got more coming up. We've got Locked On Ducks' Jordan Long with us. We'll be right back. More on some prospects in the 2020 draft. So back to the offense we go. We've got the biggest name coming out of Oregon in the first round, Justin Hubert at quarterback. Now, the Rams aren't in play here, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on, you know, how he's going to project to the next level, as well as where you maybe see the best fit for him. I mean, here in Los Angeles, we still may see him here with the Chargers as they pick at number 6, and we have no clue what that carousel is going to look like in those top 10 picks with all the quarterbacks that are out there. But what are your thoughts on the best fit for him, as well as, you know, do you see him being a really good quarterback at the next level?
Well, I do see him being a really good quarterback at the next level. That's number one. And with such an interesting origin story, as, you know, a kid who grew up in Eugene with, you know, season tickets to Ducks games all his life. I called him a walk-on at one point, but he wasn't technically a walk-on. But he only had offers from, like, Portland, my alma mater, Portland State University, and really didn't have the same upbringing, if you will, as a Joe Burrow or a Tua Tagovailoa. And so the fact that he played his first football as a junior in high school and then broke his leg and then came back in his senior year to have a super prolific season and then come back to lead the Ducks to a Rose Bowl 4 years later, playing under three different coaches, three different offensive schemes. We're talking about a guy who can be developed. If he is this good going into the draft, imagine what we can do when we can have him play for more than a year with the same scheme and the same QB coach and the same passer coach. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
really, I think that Justin Herbert has a much higher upside. Like that resume does reveal the fact that he may lack some, and I heard this knock on him, especially at the combine, right? He lacks leadership. He lacks confidence. But I think there's a big difference between arrogance and confidence. And what my man Justin Herbert showed, especially at the Senior Bowl practice week MVP and the Senior Bowl MVP, offensive MVP, he showed that he can adapt. Never having gone under center, he went in and called the plays from the huddle, went under center, and made it happen, winning offensive MVP. Yeah, you know, we kind of knock on these All-Star games like, oh, it's just a showing, it's just a showing. But really, you get a chance to see Justin Herbert. And I know that his draft stock went from late first round. You remember, I know everybody remembers back, you know, January, December, they're talking, okay, he might go in, you know, late first round, but now he is easily the top three quarterback. And I would not be surprised. Now, this is okay. I said I wasn't going to do a homer thing, but my homerism is coming out. The Bengals, yeah, I know, right? The Bengals managed the senior bowl for his team, and he has actually spent more time with them than anyone else. And yeah, maybe the coronavirus and the sports apocalypse is going to somehow lend itself to, like, we didn't get it to a Tagovailoa pro day, right? The whole promised, I'm healthy and I can show you what I can do.
A lot of questions,
Or Joe Burrow saying, hey, I'm not going to participate. I'll wait till my pro day. Well, all we got to see was Justin Herbert. So I'm super excited going forward. The man is a phenomenal quarterback. It is pro day. A stationary throw of, I think, 64 yards.
And I saw that clip. It was crazy. Right?
We got deep ball. We got deep ball accuracy. We got a guy who can run. One of the main criticisms has been his inability to, you know, use his legs to make plays. But we really saw him win the Rose Bowl with 3 rushing touchdowns. So when it comes to that, I think he put that rumor to rest. And I really think that he could benefit from spending a year under the tutelage of an experienced quarterback or an experienced system. Yes, he's a day one starter, but man, I would hate to see him go to a situation where the offensive line lets him down, you know, where he's unable to develop.
Right.
And he becomes, and of course, I always harken back to Marcus Mariota because he's our legendary Oregon quarterback, but I really think that Marcus Mariota's was limited because of the offensive line that they weren't able to protect him. So my dream scenario is really him going to the Patriots at 23. He admires Josh Daniels, has talked about how much he'd love to be a Patriot, and I would not be surprised to see them. You know how Bill Belichick, who, believe me, I'm not the biggest fan of, but Bill Belichick drafts for like 2 years from now, not for right now. And I could really see him going to one of these teams with a great system and a great plan and flourishing. Now, that's not to say that he won't flourish in a day one starter scenario like Miami even Miami, right? Like, I love Ryan Fitzmagic. Who better to learn under for a year? Like, that would actually be a pretty smart move. But, okay, I can feel the homerism coming out. So I'm gonna let you talk for a second.
No, I like it. And that you hear the excitement in the prospect. And man, I wish that was my high school career. And you know, I didn't have to try, you know, since I was like 9 years old to be good at football and never was able to get there. And this guy just jumped in junior year, broke his leg, and then was like, just that gifted. But some people just got it like that. You mentioned a good situation there. New England would be great. I don't know if he's going to make it that far. I think even the Chargers sitting there with Tyrod Taylor, another veteran who was there when Baker Mayfield came into Cleveland and then kind of got pushed out pretty quickly once he injured his hand. So they may look at that situation again. And, you know, he kind of has a little bit of more athletic Philip Rivers. So maybe it fits what they're doing. They also put a lot of investment so far this offseason into the O-line. So they're kind of already prepping to kind of bring somebody in, at least the way it looks like with their moves. So that could be another interesting one. But the Rams are no shot for this guy, right? They've got Jared Goff. They're paying $35 million a year, whatever it is. It seems kind of crazy at this point, but that's what it is. And that's what Les Snead and the organization kind of put their money behind. But let's talk about maybe some of the other guys that Justin Herbert was throwing to. And that was Juwan Johnson and Jacob Breeland are the two guys, wide receiver and tight end, coming out. Talk to me a little bit about those guys, maybe which one you see as a better opportunity and just kind of how they would fit into a pro-style offense.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are two great names and two really underrated names, and actually for two very different reasons. Now, let's start with Jacob Breeland, a tight end and the most prolific. In fact, Justin Herbert's number one receiver before an ACL injury against Colorado in week 5. He said he'd be back by April, but here we are. He didn't even get to do the pro day. He ripped off a bunch of a pretty good bench press for a tight end, but so he's saying, I'm here, I can do what I can do. But because of that ACL tear, he really hasn't been able to show anybody anything. And let me tell you, oh my gosh, I'm going to invoke the Patriots again. God, oh, but such a homer here. I'm so sorry. But I've seen a ton of mocks with Breland, and this is before his injury. I'm not talking like March or February, but I'm talking about last September, November, December, getting just into that area where the Patriots were really looking for someone to, he's not Gronkowski. Okay. I get it.
Right.
But looking for someone to replace that level of production and be someone that their new quarterback could develop with, whoever it may be. And unfortunately, an injury sidelined Jake Breland, and the sports apocalypse, it turns out, prevented him from really being able to show who he is. So
yeah, question with that. So with the, you know, everything that's happening with the opportunity to see him more, see how healthy he is, all that process, how far do you think you could see him sliding down the board? Is this kind of kicked him into the third round, fourth round, or is you think he's still got the talent to be looked at, you know, seriously in the second round?
It really depends on teams who are willing to take a chance on someone with an injury that they haven't seen. Right. We're talking boomer bust prospect, plain and simple.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, I personally, and of course I'm biased, but personally, I think he would be a steal wherever he goes. But at the same time, given sports apocalypse and his injury, I would not be shocked if he didn't get drafted or was a UDFA or something in offseason.
Well, it's interesting because I know the Rams probably, there was talk for a while that maybe they move off from Gerald Everett. They really seem to be big on Tyler Higbee. He finished the season so strong that maybe they'd be interested in a tight end in this draft. But with only having six picks, a guy like him would be tough to go after just because of that, you know, the risk of the injury there. But there's another guy that isn't coming off injury, from my understanding, and that's Juwan Johnson. Talked about him and what he can bring. This is a deep wide receiver class. Might have an opportunity to go get a guy that could in another year, you know, be talked about a lot. But this year kind of seems to be left out of the conversation.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up. And in fact, if you hadn't, I was going to, because what a perfect pivot from tight end position to Juwan Johnson, or Juwan Giant Johnson. This guy, it had top percentile in hands and wingspan and size for the wide receiver position. And I would totally not be surprised to see him go as a, you know, Eagles, Joshua Perkins, tight end receiver hybrid, where he can be confusing defenses by switching from the slot to the tight end position. I think he could be really useful in the right scheme. He's a big receiver. He's got really sure hands. I would like to have seen him run in the 4.4s, but I mean, let's be honest, that's really doggone fast. So his 40 time of, I think it was 4.58, was about on par with what we were expecting. So he has mediocre speed, but he has really sure hands. And his catch radius, I mean, we're talking about, I don't know, he's climb the mountain and pull it down. Use whatever cliche you want to.
Well, that's what's interesting about this wide receiver class. There's tons of talent here. And the Rams seems to sit here with a really filled room right now, but we still don't know what the future holds for Brandon Cooks. A lot of trade rumors around him. Josh Reynolds coming into the last year of his deal. What are the Rams wanting to do with him long term? He hasn't really fulfilled everything that we kind of hoped for him. I mean, definitely he's had some moments here on the roster to really contribute, but are they looking for another guy to come in and compete? They also have, you know, the return position is open right now. So bringing in guys kind of allows other guys to maybe fill that role as well. So that will be one to watch. But man, lots of great information today. Jordan Long, I appreciate you coming on. Guys, you can make sure to go give him a follow at The Dust Off Guy on Twitter, as well as Locked On Ducks, to see all the stuff that he's putting up and talking about over there at the Locked On Oregon Ducks podcast. Jordan, appreciate you coming on. Look forward to maybe recapping with you, depending on if the Rams get any of these guys, to hear a little bit more about your take, how they'll fit here. But appreciate your time, and keep being safe out there, and look forward to talking again soon.
It's always a pleasure, my man. So glad to talk to you. So glad to talk to the Rams fans out there. And hopefully Les Snead's obsession with the third and fourth round will result in us talking about some Oregon Ducks in the future. Stay safe, stay healthy, and remember to be happy.
I love it. A bunch of great stuff there from Locked On Ducks, Jordan Long. And guys, we're going to be back tomorrow. And guys, we're going to be back on Monday with another Mock Draft Monday. We'll see if maybe a guy like Troy Dye sneaks onto the board. or if we look at some of those O-linemen. So stay tuned for that. We're going to have another fun episode on Monday. But with that said, you know what it is, Rams Nation. Until next time.
Peace.